Father in heaven, we thank you again for the day. The songs have been sung, Lord, and the chance to be in the house of God to worship you. For the book has been opened in the Sunday school hour and fed hearts on these premises and places around the world where God's word has been opened up and read and taught, thus saith the Lord. Now we pray again for this service. Lord, help us. This book is written for us, not to hurt us, but to make us wise, to be able to understand things and have wisdom apply knowledge correctly. And know God, and know the God of this universe in a way, not just by knowledge, but know Him personally. And then all this book has been written for us to understand His ways, His wisdom, and what He's doing even in the age of grace. I pray today you'd give us that ability to receive what we need to receive individually as the gospel is proclaimed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. Take your Bible first and turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Going to read a few verses here, and then I'm going to give the title of the subject of the message up front. You know, every once in a while, you hear someone make a statement about what evil is, and people sometimes search the scriptures to find things to counteract the scriptures. For instance, it's very common, I think, nowadays, if people look into the scriptures, why you're told you place there in Genesis, well, if you turn with me over to Isaiah chapter 45, and then you'll understand the message a little more. Look in Isaiah chapter 45, and I want to read one verse of scripture, and some people look at this and they say, because what God says here at this time, they don't understand in context sometimes, and sometimes things when you read scripture may sound a certain way. But if you don't understand God, who He is, that He can't be just like sometimes people interpret. If you look in Isaiah chapter 45, down in verse 7, God is talking about who He is. I'm the Lord, and there's none else. He said that a number of places here in this chapter. But He said in verse 7, I form the light and create darkness. Now watch. I form the light and create darkness. Now, darkness, we know, if you look at light and darkness, in God's sight, darkness represents evil. And since evil is in the world, notice He said He created also darkness. I formed the light and created darkness. Why? Because something took place in life that in turn tried to destroy the darkness. He said, when He talked about it, He formed the light, but He created the darkness. The darkness is that which is evil. On the other hand, He said, I make peace and create evil. And someone said, well, now, wait a minute. If your God created evil, how can He send someone to hell, something He created and you involved in it? You missed the whole point. Well, look at the darkness. He created the light. The darkness king was created because to show the difference between darkness and light. And when you talk about God and who He is and His righteousness, He said, I made peace. But when He said it talked about evil, and of course, I like Schofield's notes here. He said, you can't find anywhere else in the scriptures that this word ra, which is the Hebrew word for evil, that's translated in the sense He said it's used for the word sin. What He's saying, that God said, listen, I created the consequences of sin so you can know what's there. If you and I didn't have the consequences of sin, we couldn't define sin. And God said, sin came by choice of my creation, but I created the consequences of sin. There is a consequence for every choice you and I make. It doesn't matter what kind it is. There's a consequence for it. And yet we pay little on the consequence and make a lot on what we decide. And then the consequences come and sometimes even blame God for that. No, God says He's made consequences for sin. Now, when I look in Amos with that to back this up, in Amos chapter, over chapter 3 and verse 6, He said, and this helps me back it up, He said, shall a trumpet be blowing in the city and the people not be afraid? Now, they're not afraid of the trumpet. They're afraid what the trumpet means. Amen? It's out of the trumpet. Now, he says, there's a sound the trumpet makes in the city that brings fear because that sound represents there's something happening in life in turn that they need to be afraid of. Then notice he said in verse 6, shall the trumpet in the city be blown and people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord have not done it? That is, that evil that's come, there's a consequence, so in turn, that when evil is seen, you become afraid of evil and run to God. That's what He's setting forth in showing us that evil is here by giving a chance, giving a choice, and yet Adam made a choice to go against what God said, Lucifer made a choice to go against what God said, and God created the circumstances in turn for that evil to be put into. God himself is holy and righteous. He allowed the evil, but I want to tell you, he didn't make them do it. He didn't make them do it. He allowed it because it counteracts up, and in that process produces what he's doing in our particular day. So he created the adversities, he created the affliction, he created the calamities, he created the sorrow, he created the things that evil brings so we would be warned and be afraid of it. Now turn with me, if you will, and let's go back and start with Genesis, what I was talking about a few minutes ago. In Genesis chapter 3, I want to read down about verse 14 to 19. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust thou shalt be all the days of thy life. Now, what has come here, God has given Adam and Eve an instruction about what they should do and should not do in the Garden of Eden. We know that one thing, for thou shalt not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you do, what? The day that you eat, thou shalt... What? Surely die. Thou shalt surely die. That was the consequence of disobeying God. Everybody understands that? But on the other hand, there's much more to it than just dying. And he's being a show of it. By the way, anytime there's a consequence for something that's done, there's much more than just one thing. And we'll see that. Because now he's saying that this consequence of what they did, and the Lord is on the servant, because thou hast done those things that are cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field, upon that bed shalt thou go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel unto the woman. Now he gave a curse, this disobedient did as far as the serpent. Now he'd already disobeyed before. But here he came, and this affected him even at this time, because he affected them. And so he said to the woman, I say, I greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. That means he'll be head of the home. It don't mean he's a tyrant. If he is, he's out of the will of God. It means that he is a head of the house, that he is to be submitted to as Christ is submitted to God the Father. Because Christ's body represents the church, and we'll submit to that. And so he's saying the position. This is what sin brought at this time. And notice he said, thy desire shall be to thy husband. Now look in verse 17. He gives the serpent, he goes to Eve, now he goes to Adam. Unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. Isn't that amazing? He didn't say, now Adam, you hearkened unto what Satan did. No, he said, you hearkened unto your voice of your wife. Surely he had enough sense to know, don't listen to her if he said do something that she said do something God said not do. But we don't know that. I'd be glad to get to heaven one day. Maybe we can ask Adam, what really happened to cause you to make such a decision as that? Man, don't you know for 6,000 years you threw us in a mess? You know, you're suffering today, right now, because of what he did. So, say, these consequences did to him. He died. It consequences that reach over 6,000 plus years to us today. But you can't blame Adam for it, because you got a nature and you did it yourself. Those can't blame Adam for going to hell, because Christ prepared a way to go to heaven. Amen. And all's a choice. I didn't choose to be born physically. No, but you had a chance to choose to trust the Lord and Savior. And that's what God gives us in this life. And he does all those he sees are going to happen. So he goes on, and he said to Adam, he said, that thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of the which I command thee. Thou shalt not eat of it, curse is the ground that for thy sake is sorrow shall thou eat of all that the days of thy life. Now, isn't it amazing? Not only the serpent involved with this now, but Eve, it affected her. Adam, it's affected him. And in the very ground we have, it's affected. He just said, they're each going to die. But look at all this other that came with the consequences. More two consequences than just one thing. And then he goes, thorns and thistles shall bring forth unto thee. Thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And in the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread. That's the reason we had to work so hard. Nowadays, we've been ruined because we got out of the fields and got into the offices, haven't we? I mean, you got air conditioning and you got heat and everything just, and not only are we're going this way because the exercise. God has not left us ignorant, ladies and gentlemen. It's so wonderful to study what he has said. And he said to thy brow, thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, out of it that was that taken, for thus dost thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Look, if you will, quickly, in verse 23. He says, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. Not only did it affect the serpent and Adam and Eve, not only affect the ground, but it affected the best place in the world that man could be. He was put out of the garden. And then look at me in verse 24. And he said, so he drove out the man, and he placed at the end east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flame and sword which turn away every way to keep the way of the tree of life. I want to speak to you a few minutes on consequences. 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 Nobody ever escaped the consequences of their choices. Consequences could be good. Consequences could be bad. We like the good. We don't like the bad, because consequences sometimes can be awful. Keeps you in the valley a lot. God gives us freedom to choose our actions in life, but not the consequences of their action. He gave Adam and Eve the ability and the situation where they could make a good choice about obeying God or not obeying, but they were not able to deal or to say what the consequences were, because he set the consequences. He set the equation, and he set the consequences of the equations. God allows us to choose our path, but not necessarily the consequence that comes with them. Right? You make a choice, but you can't choose what the consequence. You say, but I try. You can try your best for the best reward in the world. It won't come out just like you think in the long run. Something will come along that the consequence will not be, if you'll be honest, just like you would like to have it. If that was so, all of us would be millionaires today. Right? I mean, if you're going to work, why not work for the top? What we're seeing, it doesn't come out sometimes, but thank God there are good sides of consequences and there are bad sides of consequences in life. We are our choices. Our destiny is not a matter of chance, but a matter of our choice. Our lives are the sum total of our choices, because God says we have consequences in this life. And ladies and gentlemen, in America, we may be free to choose our actions, but I want you to know we are not free to choose our consequences for those actions. God will see to that, because his word is true. And so as I look into the scriptures now and see these verses, my question is this: have you ever heard someone say, don't forget, if you do that, there's a consequence? Mother and dad told their children, all right, if you do that, if you do this, if you do that, there's a consequence. And by the way, there is. At the end of everything that we have in life and choices, there's a consequence. Now, what is a consequence then? Well, a consequence is defined as a relationship, a result, or effect to its cause with Webster's Dictionary. Consequences sets forth the hardest form of learning. It's the result of our action. It's the result of an action or outcome of an action that we made. Consequences don't come without action. Consequences don't come without thought. Consequences may not come without words. It's on our action, a part in those errors, that brings about consequences. Consequences is something logical or naturally that follows an action or a condition. It's the end of something thought or done. You do that and you'll face these consequences. And so Adam and Eve and the serpent reveal in detail the consequence of disobedience towards God, as God gives the record as it was in that day. He said, you eat of that tree and death is coming. They didn't know what death was. Maybe they didn't have an idea that death could be so bad, since paradise, Eden, was so good. But they found out something. Not only, and maybe when it happened, they didn't die right then, but they were cut off from God. They knew something had happened, but they were cut off from God. And yet God made a way to fix an animal and kill him and sacrifice and clothe them, and which is a type of righteous the skin, and in turn set so they could still have fellowship with him, even though they were in a fallen condition. But wait a minute, there's more to that. That probably, when they saw the separation of God, really interfered with their thinking, I'm sure, and they felt something about it because they ran and hid when God came again. But why don't you to know they had no idea how far it was going to go. They didn't have no idea at the time that we cut off from God that one day they'd lose a son. They didn't know it was going. They had no idea that it'd come one day that she'd have children in sorrow. They had no idea it'd affect Satan, affect Adam, affect the ground, affect where they'd be at. All these things in life. Adam and Eve and the serpent reveal in detail the consequence of disobedience towards God. You know, we've got enough history today to look at to be sure we ought to understand. You can't disobey God and win. Unsaved or saved. You can't do it. God's got a record here. The only thing about it is, our faith is in things more so than God. One thing I'm coming up tonight, I'm going to deal with this way. But ladies, I'm amazed at how we are. We are praying for things all the time. We're going to get well, get better, want this, want that, wish I get out of this sickness. All of us are doing that. And God encourages us to do that. But did you know I found out that when I get sick and pray for and get well, I get sick again? You find out that the only thing that I won't ever do twice is die physically twice. But I find out every time I go, God, I'm amazed. I told Barbara the other day, I can't believe the last few weeks how many things is wrong with me. And just quick as one gets gone, another. When it comes to age, you know what? God says, though, faith is not in things. I'll give you things, but faith is to make you like Christ. The only thing that matters in your life, that you be made like Christ. Be conformed to the image of Christ. Everything that comes your way, you pray and get, but that's not the final thing. God may give us things we pray for in life, but everything that comes does not come to us just to pray to get in life. Somehow or another, its character is making us in the character of Jesus Christ so we can be used of Him. Sometimes when things are going well, we're not used too well. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life seeps in. And that's what happened here with Adam and Eve, as you see it discussed. It seems that consequences do not give a second thought about disobeying God because it's too late. It would be wise, I think, for us to think of the consequences before we act towards something, but we never do that. If we do, we think, well, it'd come out better than what I think it is, maybe. Or it's not as bad as God said it was. But selfishness blinds the process, as we see in Genesis 3. Look in Genesis 3 and what happened, and you'll see what this along comes with 1 John 2, verse 16, when God inspired John to write this thing about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. In verse 6, in that, back 4,000 years before John came, and 6,000 years now, notice he said in verse 6 to the woman, and when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and free to desire to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave unto her husband, and with her, and he did eat. You know, I, every time I read that, I can't understand where Adam didn't say, wait a minute, Eve, don't you remember God said something? But then it's as if he just did it. Why? In their mind, they had already been convinced God was trying to hold something back. It's like Satan was saying to Adam and Eve, listen, I've known God a lot longer than you have. And I want you to know He's a deceiver. He'll tell you something, not mean it. He's lying, because Jesus said He's a liar. He said, but I've known a lot longer than you. What God wants you to know is not find out about Him like I know Him. And somehow or another, when she, with the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride that seeped in, she began to say, you know what? Maybe Adam and Eve heard discussed it some. That's probably true. How much do we know about God? We know He made us, but wait a minute. He made also Satan or Lucifer. Lucifer, I've been around a lot longer than you have. I want you to know, he lies. Isn't it an amazing thing? There's a lot of folks who say, I don't believe. Listen, Satan's still telling lies today. He's telling people some this week that you and I probably witnessed to or heard a message or somewhere or another that God gave the gospel very, very plainly. And what happened? He came and said, don't you do that. He's lying. That's another way. He's still lying, folks, as he was in that particular day. And so she was deceived just right. God hadn't changed anyway from that. When you get to 1 John, he lists those out that way. Let me give you three quick points and then about consequences. Number one, consequences cannot be chosen up front most of the time. Most of the time you'll find you cannot say, well, I'm going to do this, but the consequence is that. You may get some of the consequences, but most of the time consequences don't come out like we think they would be. Consequences are not an option. God did not ask Adam and Eve or the serpent what kind of consequences they prefer if they disobey. Do you find that in the scriptures? He didn't say, now listen, I'm going to, if you eat this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, there's a consequence. You tell me what you want me to do. Well, you know what they tell him. You think, thinking innocent, they'd have more so than they would have when they fail. But there's something about the mind that makes us think things are not all that bad anyhow. So God doesn't ask us. God's word gives us a good idea of what consequences to expect. He gives us, it's written over and over in this word, in the Bible, folks. Listen, we know this, that in this life there are adversities and affliction and calamities and there's sorrows. And these are things that God has given because of sin. The wages of sin is death, the final analysis. Also, listen, these things were created to let us see what sin did and what sin does. And not only that, God created hell for the devil and his angels because of sin. And the lake of fire is created because of sin. It's going to be the last place he'll put those who refuse Jesus Christ as Savior. So God's word gives an idea of what consequences to expect. There is a reward for obedience and service, Revelation 22, verse 12. But there's also a destiny for those who do not believe God and do not serve God. When a reward is something given in return for something good that's been done. Or it could be a consequence of sin that something evil has been done. That's the reward they get. The Bible teaches us, though, in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 32, that Paul said when Christ talks about the Lord's Supper and we're to judge ourselves, he said there is a chastisement for disobedience and punishment. Why? Punishment is to make us better. There's a chastisement, God said, that we not be condemned with the world. Chastisement is a punishment. A punishment is something that happens to make us do better. That's the reason why God gave authority to the child, not the state, but the child to punish a child if they do wrong. Don't abuse them. Chastisement and punishment is not abusing. Thank God that someone will step in when abusing takes place. But God gives the right because chastisement or punishment is to let person know something is wrong and there's a consequence. You remove the consequence and you'll find people go with the flesh like you never seen before. As a matter of fact, when the Holy Spirit's removed here at the rapture, you're going to be amazed what happens fast in this earth. Amen. For those that are here. So the evil heart's going to run. You think it's doing something now. The only thing restrained is the Holy Spirit and God's people today, whatever this world may say. And that's what we see in 2 Thessalonians. He tells us. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, that grave and severe and hard consequences were faced by the Old Testament saints, which were revealed for our learning, for our understanding, that we might not sin about after those things. Why? God keeps his word about sin. So most of the time, consequences cannot be chosen ahead of time. Number two, sometimes we have to live with our consequences. Boy, down through the years now, for 57 years, I'm amazed that the people I'd run across and be talking to, and suddenly they give a consequence they live, and they said, if had I not been doing this, it would have never happened. Did you know that today we are still living with the consequence of Adam's sin? This shows us that bitter consequences can last a lifetime. For says he's on drugs, it don't really matter. It'll last a lifetime for you if you're not careful. It's harder, it's much easier to get started than it is to stop. You say, well, have you ever tried that? No, but I've seen enough to know I don't want to try it. Amen. I thank God I see enough now. If I won't even save, I don't think I'd want to try it. But if I won't save, I'd have no reason not to. Well, I've got to face a lot of things in this life. And I like to do something once in a while that makes it easier. By the way, so do you. But on the same time, God sets forth that he can help us. We wait on him. And he teaches things while we're waiting. It's a wonderful thing to see. In the matter of which drugs or drunk driving or loose petting between a boy and a girl, these lead to tough consequences. David lived with the consequence of a lost child over a sin. It looked what it affected. Teenage mothers sometimes from 13 to 18 live the consequence of having to raise a child for the rest of their life. God can forgive sin, but you still realize that sin has a consequence, wherever it may be in life. Thank God he can forgive. Brother Keith did a good job on that this morning. Forgive for sin. I remember a young teen when I was in high school. His dad had bought a new rifle, and he told his son not to get the rifle. We were just his plain, well-to-do family. He said, don't get the rifle now, a new rifle. He thought he had it away. Well, that little fellow, he was a junior age. He was close to teenage. And he decided he'd get out and play with it. And got in the yard. It went off accidentally, shot him. and ended up shot accidentally and was paralyzed from his waist down the rest of his life. He died being paralyzed simply because he disobeyed just one little order that his dad said. Don't tell me consequences can last a lifetime, folks. And there are many times, I've told you about the young fellow I met in the hospital that time, and he asked for the preacher, remember he pulled his shirt back, and he said, if I hadn't been where I'd been last night, or the week before that, he said, I went out there and had a bullet shot. I don't see how he was living. Had a scar right there where a bullet went in right into his chest. He said, I was in the wrong place at the wrong time, shouldn't have been there. Consequence. Things that happen. You don't have to necessarily do things that are evil. You can do some things that have a consequence. You can be playing with something sometimes when parents said, I should not be playing with. Or at least they saw the danger in it. I got a lot of idea about missing one time because we didn't have toys like people have nowadays. We'd go to railroad track and get these fuses down these on railroad tracks, and they burned down to the point in the cord, and then we put feathers in them, chicken feathers in. We had a lot of chickens. We'd make darts, throwing darts. And my sister threw one day and hit a tree, and I was not even around the tree. The tree was there, and I was here, and it glanced, and it went 90 degrees and hit me. I don't know. I've had it all my life. I bet you got some things somewhere or another if you had a chance to tell. There's a scar. It may be emotional otherwise. It took place. And you know it's there. Aren't you glad God forgives for sin, though? Amen. Some things are not necessarily sin. Nothing there. We're just playing. But I'm saying some things are done that are, God said, don't do. And there's a consequence of that, the time. So the consequence also is sometimes they last a lifetime. Another thing is, number three, consequence often burdens others. And we see that. It would be different if the guilty person of wrongdoing would face consequences alone, but this is not the case of time. When you think about David and look at him in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 18, first of all, David himself was affected because he lost a son over that which God said because of his sin. And here he said he was worried at the time where the son died. His servants saw him. He wouldn't eat. He was fasting. He was praying. He went into an isolation. And then when the son died, they were afraid to go tell him because he said he is mourning so bad. He really blew it now when he found out that God didn't answer the prayer for that. And it came to him, and he perceived something was wrong, and he said, the child's dead, isn't it? And they said, yes, he is. And he got right up, cleaned himself up, got him some food to eat. They said, well, I don't understand this. We thought you were going to just paraphrase it. We thought that you were just what... You just blow out everything because of this. And then just couldn't take it. And he said, no, when I prayed, there was life. God might be a chance that he might change it. God could change it. Now he has, the end has come. He's died. He can't come to me, but I can go to him. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Amen. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That don't mean every child that dies. It's not that, but I'm saying that's David. David has got a record in God's word for us to understand the experiences that he goes through, that he went through, and how God dealt with him. Not only did you find him dealing with it, though, Bathsheba lost a son, too. Not only that, it affected his soldiers around him and how they were dealing with him. I'm talking about consequences, ladies and gentlemen. David didn't harm himself, but meanwhile, at the same time, a lot of folks are burdened because the child lost his life. Many parents are burdened by the consequences of their children today for doing something that's wrong and have to suffer the consequence the rest of their life, but at the same time, they have a forgiving spirit about it. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, consequences are the end results of an action. And God has warned us about it over and over again. And parents warn their children, but then sometimes, let's face it, we were teenagers too one time. The only thing about it is my mother did not save when I came along. So I probably didn't have as strong as discipline on me that I would have if they'd been saved. But I'm glad God can reach into a home and get a child the worst of circumstances there is. If a child, see, nothing should deter us from trusting him. We're born in this world, there should be nothing that would cause us not to trust him. And ask God to give wisdom to understand when someone is trying to help us rather than hurt us. So God's word plainly warns us about the severity of the consequences for disobeying his action and instruction. God is the authority. 1 John 3:4 defines sin as a transgression, disobedience of the law. Romans 6:23 pronounces the consequence of wages of sin is death. 1 Thessalonians 1:7-9 declares the greatest of all consequences for disobeying towards God, and that would be not having obeyed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he gives us word there that they end up in a flaming fire if they don't trust him. Go and read. I don't have time to read it today. Same time. Hosea chapter 8, verse 7 said, "Sow to the wind implies a senseless and unproductive activity. But when you sow to the whirlwind, it sets forth a violence of destruction, forcing the consequences for a waste of time." So consequences can be positive and negative. Let me ask you a question. You ever heard this said before? You do that and you pay the what? Consequence was another word they put for that. Piper? You ever heard that? You do that, you pay the piper. Have you ever heard this? You lie down with dogs. Everybody knows. You lie down with dogs, you're going to get fleas. That's a consequence. It's a slogan, but it's a consequence. Sometimes consequences are obvious. Very obvious. Let me give you a couple of cases. Simplicity. Lord, this morning, God, just let me be simple with this thing to understand. We're plagued with consequences all the time by choices. Give you one. You tell me what this answer this way. Here's a case. A young kid, 16, 17 years old, got his license. Now he's got caught running 90 miles an hour in a 50 mile an hour zone. Now, A, B, C, what will happen to him? Well, when he goes to court, they're going to give him a cookie. Oh, is that not? Well, when he goes to court, the judge is going to smile and say, "Son, this is your first time. I'll let you go." Well, first of all, you'd have to go to court to see the judge. And ladies and gentlemen, you know, because I know, what would he get? A speeding ticket, which he would have to go to court or get a lawyer or some form, because the consequence has to be settled. Let me give you another one. You get a good job, you think, you've been looking for a good while, and suddenly you get a good job, you're thinking, you've been working 3 to 4 weeks, but you come in 30 minutes late every day for 15 to 20 days. What will the boss say? Sir, you know, you should go to sleep a little early so you can get here on time. That would be a consequence, wouldn't it? But I'm telling you, we know sometimes what consequences are, and even what we know is not enough, because they're worse than that. Consequence leads to consequences. Or he might say something like this, "Well, you know what, I know you've been working here a month. I want you to take a week's vacation so you can come back and be able to come on time." Or what do you say? "You're fired." By the way, within 3-4 weeks, he could say that in a 90-day probation period. What I'm saying consequences are obvious when you look at what's been. Isn't it amazing? We like the question, we like the statements, but we don't like the consequences. Folks, listen, God says there's consequences for you and I. There's rewards. There's things. You try to shortcut consequences to cause frustration and failure in life. Galatians 6, verse 7 said, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. That which be to condemnation or corruption in the flesh, that which has to be." God said that in his word. We need to be careful. This should show us and teach us to be careful how we use our life, for we reap what we have sown. Give me three quick things at the end. To this world, listen to me carefully. I'll sum it up. To this world, there is a consequence for not trusting Christ as Savior. There is also a consequence for trusting Christ as Savior, and through Jesus Christ have a relationship with God the Father. That settles the John 3:16. But now for those who have trusted Christ, they have been born into the family of God, to the child of God. There is a consequence for serving God through Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3 and others, even in Revelation 22, he said he's bringing his reward with him. There is a reward, which is a consequence for serving Christ. But for those who are saved that don't serve him, there's a consequence of loss of reward for not serving God. It's obvious. 1 Corinthians 3 tells us about it, how it's going to happen. Isn't it amazing? There's a consequence for serving God, and there's a consequence of loss of for serving God. Now, when I say that, I can say to somebody, "I don't believe that." Fine. I'm not responsible for anything that doesn't believe if I'm right. But God is responsible. And it's in his word. Did you know 1 Corinthians 3 is just as important as John 3:16? And I see that how Satan gets us aside sometimes. I'm not trying to scare anyone. I'm trying to help you cooperate with the Holy Spirit to see and do God's will in your life. We cannot live in God's blessing and talk like Satan. Amos 3:3 says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Now, let me ask you, do you think God's going to agree with us, or have we got to agree with Him? We got to agree with Him. And I'll never know what to agree with Him except through this book. He has never come to me at night and shake me up and scare me to death and say, I want to talk to you about something. But He has come to this book every time I open it. Every time I open it. I thank God. I'm afraid that most people want the power of God to play with and not be responsible for God's glory. God wants us to be transformed. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed. That's the power of God. He wants us to be transformed that we might know what is that good and perfect will of God. And I say to you, I wonder what we will learn about ourselves. Earlier this morning, I was thinking over this thing in my study about 2:30, 3 o'clock, and I was thinking, Lord, how can I make this end real? And this came to my mind. Let me ask you a question. If you and I would put a tape recorder beside of us, run 24 hours a day for the next month, and everything you said, thought, or did was recorded, how many of us would like to have others hear that? You say, preacher, don't tell me. There's things goes through your mind you can't control. Thank God they don't have to lodge there. There's things, no doubt, that you may say or do. No one knows but God. What I'm saying to you, I don't think the one in here say, preacher, I'll sign up for that. It's going to be 24 hours a day. It'll never be cut off. Everything I do say, wherever I go, whatever it's in, no matter who I talk to, whatever it is, it's going to be recorded for 30 days. And at the end of that 30 days, I'll just stand and know that God's pleased with it. Hey, I've been saved 57 years. I realize God hears everything I do and say or think. And ladies and gentlemen, you know what that does? It makes me humble. Because God, I'm going to stand before you one day and my mind don't understand. To me, if you just ask me what Christianity was before I got saved, I'd say, oh, it's the best thing in the world. And by the way, it is. But I'm going to tell you, it's a road to travel I never thought of. I thought I'd have victory over everything. I mean, name and claim it. I'd thought this. Hey, I'd have thought if I'd pray for God, my wife never broke her arm. No matter what, how hard she tried. But she did. What I'm saying to you, we don't understand a lot of things, but we have that channel of faith. It's wonderful, folks. And everything in faith is not to get everything I ask for physically in this world that may lead to lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, or pride of life. It's to help me be conformed to the image by being transformed to the image of God's Son. God, from the day I started, 57 years, He had a long road. It's been bringing things in line to be transformed, to be conformed, so God could conform us to the image of His Son rather than this world. I'm so grateful. I wonder what would we learn about ourselves if we carried a tape recorder around with us for the next 4 weeks. Taped everything about us. Even what you dreamed about, what you thought about, who you talked to. Because what did you think when that person cut you off and almost run you in the ditch in the highway somewhere or another? We need help, don't we? Stand to your feet. Father, Lord, if I've ever said anything that remind me of life, its consequences. It's amazing how this came out. Someone tried to claim that God created evil, and by creating evil, that means He can't send no one to hell because He created the very thing that sent them there. Lord, that goes to show you Satan's a liar. He's a liar. He's a father of lies. Lord, we trust You. I don't know what it would take us to change. Well, here's so much of the way the world going. And Lord, the world so much like that today has changed so much that churches has moved to the place where the world used to be, and the world's moved on out wickeder. And Lord, we need to understand this book's to help us and not to hurt us. And anyone who preached thus saith the Lord, this book is not trying to hurt anybody, Lord. I don't have anything against anyone. I'm amazed at the letters I get from time to time, and I'm amazed at things that people say, other people say at times. I'm amazed, Lord. But no one's ever done me like they did Christ. No one's ever done anywhere in this building like they did twice. Lord, he was the perfect one. He's the one the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He's the one that God said, if you believe not, Jesus said, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins if you believe not that I am he. He's the one that said to his men as receive him, to them gave he power to come to sons of God. You loved us anyhow. We thank you for that. Lord, help us not get tied up where the world's going religiously, that this God in heaven loves us so much, no matter what we do or say or live, whatever happens, it don't really matter. In the end, he's going to take us all to glory anyhow. That's another lie of the pit of hell, Lord, from Satan himself. I couldn't get in this world without being born physically, and I sure can't get into the world that's of glory where God himself's at without being born spiritually. And I thank you, Lord, for the date. This fellow, I met a fellow in a business somewhere or another. And Lord, I thank you that when we started talking, I could say, yes, I was saved. And Lord, I'm amazed because he was amazed. I went back to the very date, the very hour, the very Sunday, the very time after 3 years in a church and realized something took place other than just get religion. And he was astonished the fact that I could have so precise about being saved. It's not that it makes any difference as long as there's a time, but it gives assurance. He can remember the time, but not the date or the hour. I'm glad you don't have to narrow everything down if you remember the time. But Lord, the consequence is we must remember the time that we surrender to you. Help someone see that today. Please, oh my Father, please, either here, junior church, or Ustream, or the radio, help someone see their need today.